From NPR News in Washington, this is special live coverage. President George W. Bush is addressing the nation tonight from an aircraft carrier, the USS Abraham Lincoln. I'm Robert Siegel. In a few moments, the president is expected to speak from the deck of the Abraham Lincoln and declare major combat operations in Iraq at an end. That just hours after Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld declared major combat activity over in Afghanistan. The White House says Mr. Bush will explain to the American people how the military victory in Iraq serves as a key success in the broader war on terror. With us as we wait for the president is our news analyst Daniel Shore. Dan, President Bush is expected to say that major combat has finished in Iraq, but he will stop short of declaring the war over. Why?
Well, because of the Geneva Accords regarding prisoners of war. If he said the war is over, then all the prisoners have to be returned, which he has no intention of doing.
There are also, I think, responsibilities for being in charge of the country and its security, its safety, getting the police force back on the streets.
All of that. If it's wartime, that's exactly right. Then it becomes an occupation. That's a word he also doesn't like.
Let's talk a bit about the setting for this speech tonight. Quite spectacular. The president actually was flown onto the deck of the helicopter earlier this afternoon by a Navy flyer.
Yes, on the USS Abraham Lincoln. I think the first presidential address to the nation ever given from the deck of an aircraft carrier.
With us also, as we're waiting for the president to begin, is our national political correspondent, Mara Liasson. Mara, this is a fairly spectacular backdrop for the president.
There's no doubt about it, and I think it's kind of presidential stagecraft at its highest. Mike Deaver would be jealous of what they've put together here. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some of these images during the president's reelection campaign. He apparently actually flew the plane for one-third of the distance from California to this aircraft carrier, which is moving, by the way, as he will be speaking on it.
And the president, to the strains of Hail to the Chief, is walking to his microphone on the deck of the Abraham Lincoln. And after this music, we should hear the President of the United States.
Be seated, please.
Yeah!
A very appreciative crowd of sailors welcoming the president.
Thank you.
And as you can hear, he's now about to begin.
Thank you all very much. Admiral Kelly, Captain Card, officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans, major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed. And now our coalition is engaged in securing and reconstructing that country. In this battle, we have fought for the cause of liberty and for the peace of the world. Our nation and our coalition are proud of this accomplishment. Yet it is you, the members of the United States military, who achieved it. Your courage, your willingness to face danger for your country and for each other, made this day possible. Because of you, our nation is more secure. Because of you, the tyrant has fallen, and Iraq is free. Operation Iraqi Freedom was carried out with a combination of precision and speed and boldness the enemy did not expect and the world had not seen before. From distant bases or ships at sea, we sent planes and missiles that could destroy an enemy division or strike a single bunker. Marines and soldiers charged to Baghdad across 350 miles of hostile ground. In one of the swiftest advances of heavy arms in history, you have shown the world the skill and the might of the American Armed Forces. This nation thanks all the members of our coalition who joined in a noble cause. We thank the armed forces of the United Kingdom, Australia, and Poland, who shared in the hardships of war. We thank all the citizens of Iraq who welcomed our troops and joined in the liberation of their own country. And tonight, I have a special word for Secretary Rumsfeld, for General Franks, and for all the men and women who wear the uniform of the United States. America is grateful for a job well done. The character of our military through history, the daring of Normandy, the fierce courage of Iwo Jima, the decency and idealism that turned enemies into allies is fully present in this generation. When Iraqi civilians looked into the faces of our servicemen and women, they saw strength and kindness and goodwill. When I look at the members of the United States military, I see the best of our country, and I'm honored to be your Commander in Chief. In the images of fallen statues, we have witnessed the arrival of a new era. For 100 years of war, culminating in the nuclear age, military technology was designed and deployed to inflict casualties on an ever-growing scale. In defeating Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan, Allied forces destroyed entire cities, while enemy leaders who started the conflict were safe until the final days. Military power was used to end a regime by breaking a nation. Today, we have the greater power to free a nation by breaking a dangerous and aggressive regime. With new tactics and precision weapons, we can achieve military objectives without directing violence against civilians. No device of man can remove the tragedy from war. Yet it is a great advance when the guilty have far more to fear from war than the innocent. In the images of celebrating Iraqis, we have also seen the ageless appeal of human freedom. Decades of lies and intimidation could not make the Iraqi people love their oppressors or desire their own enslavement. Men and women in every culture need liberty like they need food and water and air. Everywhere that freedom arrives, humanity rejoices, and everywhere that freedom stirs, let tyrants fear. We have difficult work to do in Iraq. We're bringing order to parts of that country that remain dangerous. We're pursuing and finding leaders of the old regime who will be held to account for their crimes. We've begun the search for hidden chemical and biological weapons and already know of hundreds of sites that will be investigated. We are helping to rebuild Iraq, where the dictator built palaces for himself instead of hospitals and schools. And we will stand with the new leaders of Iraq as they establish a government of, by, and for the Iraqi people. The transition from dictatorship to democracy will take time, but it is worth every effort. Our coalition will stay until our work is done, and then we will leave, and we will leave behind a free Iraq. The Battle of Iraq is one victory in a war on terror that began on September the 11th, 2001. And still goes on. That terrible morning, 19 evil men, the shock troops of a hateful ideology, gave America and the civilized world a glimpse of their ambitions. They imagined, in the words of one terrorist, that September the 11th would be the beginning of the end of America. By seeking to turn our cities into killing fields, terrorists and their allies believed they could destroy this nation's resolve and force our retreat from the world. They have failed. In the Battle of Afghanistan, we destroyed the Taliban, many terrorists, and the camps where they trained. We continue to help the Afghan people lay roads, restore hospitals, and educate all of their children. Yet we also have dangerous work to complete. As I speak, a Special Operations Task Force led by the 82nd Airborne is on the trail of the terrorists and those who seek to undermine the free government of Afghanistan. America and our coalition will finish what we have begun. From Pakistan to the Philippines to the Horn of Africa, we are hunting down al-Qaeda killers. 19 months ago, I pledged that the terrorists would not escape the patient justice of the United States. And as of tonight, nearly one half of al-Qaeda's senior operatives have been captured or killed. The liberation of Iraq is a crucial advance in the campaign against terror. We've removed an ally of al-Qaeda and cut off a source of terrorist funding. And this much is certain. No terrorist network will gain weapons of mass destruction from the Iraqi regime because the regime is no more. In these 19 months that changed the world, our actions have been focused and deliberate and proportionate to the offense. We have not forgotten the victims of September the 11th, the last phone calls, the cold murder of children, the searches in the rubble. With those attacks, the terrorists and their supporters declared war on the United States. And war is what they got. Our war against terror is proceeding according to the principles that I have made clear to all. Any person involved in committing or planning terrorist attacks against the American people becomes an enemy of this country and a target of American justice. Any person, organization, or government that supports, protects, or harbors terrorists is complicit in the murder of the innocent and equally guilty of terrorist crimes. Any outlaw regime that has ties to terrorist groups and seeks or possesses weapons of mass destruction is a grave danger to the civilized world and will be confronted. And anyone in the world, including the Arab world, who works and sacrifices for freedom, has a loyal friend in the United States of America. Our commitment to liberty is America's tradition, declared at our founding, affirmed in Franklin Roosevelt's Four Freedoms, asserted in the Truman Doctrine and in Ronald Reagan's challenge to an evil empire. We are committed to freedom in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and in a peaceful Palestine. The advance of freedom is the surest strategy to undermine the appeal of terror in the world. Where freedom takes hold, hatred gives way to hope. When freedom takes hold, men and women turn to the peaceful pursuit of a better life. American values and American interests lead in the same direction. We stand for human liberty. The United States upholds these principles of security and freedom in many ways, with all the tools of diplomacy, law enforcement, intelligence, and finance. We are working with a broad coalition of nations that understand the threat and our shared responsibility to meet it. The use of force has been and remains our last resort. Yet all can know, friend and foe alike, that our nation has a mission. We will answer threats to our security, and we will defend the peace. Our mission continues. Al-Qaeda is wounded, not destroyed. The scattered cells of the terrorist network still operate in many nations, and we know from daily intelligence that they continue to plot against free people. The proliferation of deadly weapons remains a serious danger. The enemies of freedom are not idle, and neither are we. Our government has taken unprecedented measures to defend the homeland, and we will continue to hunt down the enemy before he can strike. The war on terror is not over, yet it is not endless. We do not know the day of final victory, but we have seen the turning of the tide. No act of the terrorists will change our purpose, or weaken our resolve, or alter their fate. Their cause is lost. Free nations will press on to victory. Other nations in history have fought in foreign lands and remain to occupy and exploit. Americans, following a battle, want nothing more than to return home. And that is your direction tonight. After service in the Afghan and Iraqi theaters of war, after 100,000 miles on the longest carrier deployment in recent history, you are homeward bound. Some of you will see new family members for the first time. 150 babies were born while their fathers were on the Lincoln. Your families are proud of you, and your nation will welcome you. We are mindful as well that some good men and women are not making the journey home. One of those who fell, Corporal Jason Melillo, spoke to his parents 5 days before his death. Jason's father said he called us from the center of Baghdad, not to brag, but to tell us he loved us. Our son was a soldier. Every name, every life is a loss to our military, to our nation, and to the loved ones who grieve. There's no homecoming for these families. Yet we pray in God's time their reunion will come. Those we lost were last seen on duty. Their final act on this earth was to fight a great evil and bring liberty to others. All of you, all in this generation of our military, have taken up the highest calling of history. You are defending your country and protecting the innocent from harm. And wherever you go, you carry a message of hope, a message that is ancient and ever new. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, "To the captives come out, and to those in darkness be free." Thank you for serving our country and our cause. May God bless you all, and may God continue to bless America.
President Bush addressing an audience of sailors on the USS Abraham Lincoln, telling them that major combat operations in Iraq have ended, that the Battle of Iraq was, in his words, one victory in a war on terrorism, a war against terror that began on September 11th, 2001. You're listening to live coverage of President Bush's address to the nation.